I misspoke last time. I said Bulgarian. I forgot in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, they're from Bulgaria.
Oh.
Big difference. Yeah, huge.
In Bulgaria, they speak fuckingese. Fuckingese nuts! And welcome back to another episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? I'm your host, Zach, and I know a lot about Doctor Who.
And I'm also your host, Cassie. And I don't care.
you doctor don't care anymore.
A doctor don't care.
Well, hopefully you care by the end of this, because this is the season finale. The series 7 finale, our last season finale with Matt Smith.
I care a little.
Yeah, this is The Name of the Doctor, series 7, episode 13, The Name of the Doctor.
His name was Doctor Who.
Doctor Who. Well, according to A Head in a Box, that's not his name, that's the question. The question that must never be answered, hidden in plain sight.
The Doctor!
The question that when asked, silence will fall. Remember the entire crux of the last season?
Clap and the Doctor stays alive.
Yes, this is.
Don't even get me. Don't act. Don't get me started.
Yes, this is the series finale for series 7. It is the
series finale. We don't see a regen, though.
No, not yet. His regeneration, much like David Tennant's regeneration story, was not at the end of his last season. His was in a special. So we will get that in a special. There's a part of me that sometimes wishes that I didn't tell you all this stuff, that I let it kind of linger out there. But also, like, it's such an important, like a knowable thing about the show that it feels weird to hold it from you at the same time. You know what I mean? Like, you just kind of know that basically every Doctor gets 3 seasons.
Yeah.
And so when you get to the end of 3, you're like, oh, here. But yeah, so this is
every Doctor gets 3 seasons. Except for one.
Except for 9, who only got the 1 season.
Yeah.
This is the culmination of the story for this season with Clara as the Impossible Girl. Do you have any theories as to how she is the Impossible Girl?
No, because anything I say that makes actual perfect sense. You'll go, oh, that's so cute. You have your theory. Oh, and then you're just going to pull my mind tablecloth from under me.
Well, I want you to get in a mindset to come up with something really stupid.
Okay.
Because it's not your first Cassie Professi question, but one of your Cassie Professi questions is going to require you to just slip into some silly hooiness.
Some jammies. Ooh, watchy.
Some silly, silky, dummy wummy.
Silk jammies and some edible body powder.
Let's get to the Cassie Professi a little bit so we can find out about this.
All right.
I will tell you that if you don't like one of my questions, I do have a backup for it.
Spoiler alert, I never like these questions.
In this episode, the two children from the last one, the Doctor gets mad at them and compares them to one of his alien nemeses.
Okay.
Which one do you think he compares them to?
Is it one that I like or don't like?
I would say it's one you like.
Okay. Spoiler alert, I don't like any of them.
That's not true. A lot of them got voices that you like.
Dalek.
You like the Daleks. You do seem to have a fondness for how the Cybermen talk. You're a little iffy on all their appearances, but
I don't love Cybermen, but I do. There's a little soft spot in my heart that weird, nasty, nasty boys with fun voice mods.
Mm-hmm.
So
anytime Nicholas Briggs gets put on the vocoder, you're all good to go.
Yeah, Nicholas Briggs. Basically, it's just like a soft spot in my heart for like Nicholas Briggs.
Big suits.
Big dumb suits, Darth Vader.
Darth Vader's also a good one.
And Andy Serkis. They all live in the same little
I don't think Andy Serkis has done anything in Doctor Who.
That's shocking.
Right? It does feel a little surprising.
He was in 13 going on 30. You mean to tell me he hasn't made any kind of appearance in a Doctor Who episode?
I don't think he has.
What the fuck, BBC?
It does feel like a missed opportunity for sure.
Oh my God.
Hello, Doctor. It's good to see you again. Do you have any fishes for me?
You could do a better Smeagol.
You know what I'm doing? I'm not doing Smeagol or Gollum. I'm doing Gurgi. That's what that is.
Yes, you are.
That is
doing
Gurgi from Black Cauldron. But enough about Gurgi. Which nemesis do you think the Doctor compares two children to?
Man, I don't remember any of them. That's not even kind of a bit. I know Dalek and Cybermen.
We got Dalek, Cybermen. The Master is another big one for him. We've got.
Oh no! You know what? It's the only one I remember.
Okay.
Adipose.
He compares them to two little adipose, little marshmallow men. Ugh. Little blobs of fat with faces.
Because I'm thinking, like, what annoys the Doctor?
Mm-hmm.
Adipose.
Do you think he's going to compare him to adipose?
I think so.
Okay. It would be a nice little pull after a few seasons of not, because they don't really come back, so.
You seem pleasantly surprised that I said that, so I might actually revert back to Dalek.
Okay.
Give me the answer.
I will beam it to you with my mind. Unfortunately, the train station in your mind isn't taking any trains right now.
Fuck, everybody's all asleep.
My train is beaming towards you going, hoo, hoo. And you're not, there's
they're
no station.
They're all having supper or they're in bed.
And there's no train post on Sundays.
But it's a Saturday. It would be strange if they pulled adipose. I'm going to say Dalek. I'm going to stand by my nasty boys.
You're going to compare the two kids to two Daleks. Okay, that's a fair guess.
Because they just really push the Doctor's buttons.
And this question, I will admit, is a bit obtuse. So I will give you a...
Is this one that you wrote?
This is one that I wrote.
Okay, so I can be angry at you.
You can be angry at me. I didn't get any other questions for Patreon for this one, partly because we're recording these back-to-back, so... This question, I will own up to being kind of obtuse, but I'm curious more to see what kind of yarn you spin with it. And if you're really unhappy with it, I will give you another question.
Okay.
What do you think happens to a Time Lord when they actually die?
Huh. You've asked me a philosophical question. What happens?
Is there a Time Lord heaven?
Is what happens to a Time Lord after they die for realsies?
Or more specifically, what happens to their body when they die?
What happens to a Time Lord's body when they die for realsies?
Yeah, they're not regenerating when they just land on the ground dead as a stone.
Bang. Favorite moment.
You're going to be 80 years old and have forgotten about this podcast altogether, but you'll still be just going, bang. You'll get like a message like, sorry, the woman down the hall just died. Bang.
How do you know that you won't be right there with me going bang?
I just won't tell you anymore. I'll be enjoying the bang.
Just haunting me with the sound. Do you hear that sound? It follows me everywhere I go.
Quit telling people I'm dead.
I can still hear his voice.
I'm right here.
So what do you picture happens to a being that lives that long?
To a Time Lord's body.
Across multiple lives.
When it is dead as a stone.
Boing. Hey, boing.
Well, because you are not asking me what happens to, like, people when they die. So you're specifically
asking... That's what I
want
to say. This isn't a metaphysical thing.
It is
this is, like, what happens to their body. Like what specifically happens?
I mean, the boring answer would be it's just that. It's just a body.
Mm-hmm.
Time Lord is in essence a metaphysical ball of energy, and I still stand by that. First episode, Cassie.
Do you think the body becomes the metaphysical ball of energy?
Perhaps. So we're going to branch into some other nerd talk, and just do follow with me. Come with me on this journey. Do follow my logic. So in Steven Universe, when they specifically talk about what the gems are, like what their physical forms are, it is described as being like a hologram or like a projection of light. So they do a bit where Steven is getting an X-ray and you can see his bones and the things that he's eaten. And just for fun, Amethyst also gets an X-ray, but all she is just her gem. There is no body. So similarly, I think that could be similar logic for Time Lords, where their bodies are just not that their bodies are infallible, like they can still get hurt. They still have, I mean, the doctor even says several times, the doctor has two hearts. So clearly the doctor is made of flesh and bone. But I think then when the doctor dies, like for realsies, I think that all of that matter just kind of fizzles out like a soda pop. It just all turns into the same stuff. That same.
So like there's an energy in them that comes out is what you're saying.
I think so. Well, because we see it during the regenerations.
So
we see the body physically just kind of turn into light. Like that's something that is a commonality. So I think that if the doctor is not living, if the doctor is like permadead, it's just energy, light, gas. It's just like the, you know.
I'll take that answer for sure. Like it just lets off regeneration energy. I'll take that. That makes sense to me. All right.
That's like the smartest thing I've ever said in my whole life.
I just made you do a book report on
Doctor
Who. That
is the smartest thing I've ever said in my whole life. And I sound like this. Could you imagine me, President Cassie?
You can't sound any dumber than the guy right now.
I think that we need to stop wars. And I think that that would be a really good way for us to start bringing peace to one another. I do sound like a Valley girl, don't I? Oh, it's time for a new voice.
You're born and raised here in California. You can't help it. The fry comes naturally.
But my grandparents are from Kentucky.
But you're not your grandparents.
Well, yeah, but I still have some isms.
I'm sure you've got some Kentucky fried fuckery going on inside you.
I do have some Kentucky fried fuckery. Thank you for noticing. And I do try to not do the vocal fry because I know that some people don't like it.
I don't particularly care one way or the other, personally.
I care. I'm also thirsty.
Well, any other thoughts that you have coming up on this this series finale here as we're coming up on the culmination of Moffat's 3 years of running the show so far?
Nope.
Nothing at all.
Oh, River, does she come back?
I guess you'll find out, won't we?
Okay.
So we will find out together if the doctor thinks kids are comparable to Daleks.
Oh, my God. It sounds so funny when you say it back to me.
And if Time Lords just turn into a ball of light, a column of energy.
Yeah.
As we watch Series 7, Episode 14, The Name of the Doctor. Doctor Who.
Doctor Who. Who.
Who are you? Doctor Who.
Who. Who.
I really want to know.
Who. I'm trying to call the local owls in the neighborhood. Who.
Back from The Name of the Doctor.
This episode should have been called The Impossible Girl. I don't know what the fuck they were doing calling it The Name of the Doctor.
Well, it's about that final reveal at the end there, Cassie.
That the name of the doctor is John Hurt?
It's about that someone did that the doctor once upon a face did something not in the name of the doctor. Broke the promise he made.
But what he did was without choice.
Yeah, I, well, so when we did that whole fashion show episode where I showed you every doctor, I didn't quite show you every doctor.
Yeah, I noticed. I was really hoping this he was going to turn around and be Rowan Atkinson.
I'll explain later. Which they sort of will explain later. They'll explain in, let's see, this came out in, I believe, March. So that they'll explain in approximately 9 months.
Jesus Christ. Are you for real?
8 months, yeah.
That's a whole, like...
Oh, yeah, because this is the build-up to the 50th anniversary episode. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Which came out in November of 2013.
Oh, my God. For 8 months, people just...
This, actually, I take it back. I think the season started in April, in May. I take that back. I think the season started in March, so this probably came out in May. So, but it was still 6 months. 6 months of waiting.
6 months is an awfully long time to wait.
Mm-hmm. But what a reveal, though, to reveal that Academy Award nominated actor, BAFTA winning actor, John Hurt is cast as the Doctor.
Yes. Can you... I know who he is, but just would, in case any of our listeners
you
don't
would best
know
him as Ollivander from the Harry Potter series.
Oh.
So you probably hit.
Nope, definitely not.
Yeah, you heard that. That's John Hurt. John Hurt is also nominated for The Elephant Man, Midnight Express.
Was he in any Bond films?
He would, if you saw the original animated Lord of the Rings movie from like the 70s. He plays, I believe he plays Gandalf in that in those movies.
Okay, yeah.
He's in The Black Cauldron.
Hell yeah, brother.
He is the voice of the Horned King in Black Cauldron.
Hell yeah, brother.
Of course I should have, I sort of started with that.
You started
He is in Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Okay, cool.
V for Vendetta, Outlander, Snowpiercer, Tinker Tailor Soldier
Spy.
Yes, he is. Yeah, he has a storied, incredible career. And part of that career is playing the Doctor in Doctor Who.
He's playing the Doctor.
He only had a couple of opportunities to do it before he sadly passed away. He shows up in the 50th anniversary special. He also got, I believe, one audio drama with Big Finish.
Mm-hmm.
So he got to do a little bit, but he is, in terms of screen appearance, the shortest lived Doctor.
Yeah.
How you feel about that reveal, Cassie? That there's a doctor you didn't know about.
I don't know.
That our 11th doctor is actually the 12th doctor. Here's an interesting question: Where in the timeline do you think he slid in?
I was just gonna ask you that. Well, maybe I was gonna say that's the doctor that freaking caused the time war.
You think that's the promise he broke as he started the time war?
I think so.
That'd be really interesting.
I don't like that answer you just gave
me. I'm not
going
to give it away because that's part of the show. It's part of the show. We're gonna see some stuff.
Then don't ask me questions to egg me on and then give me little... Like,
what do you think the Cassie Professy is, Cassie? The whole point is to ask you questions to egg you on. Did it only take you until our 94th episode to realize that? We're nearly a centennial of episodes deep.
I thought we were just fucking around.
Both things can be true.
Hey, but I got both of my...
You did get both of your Cassie Professy points correct today. Can I say I'm pretty sure I got my Zachy Perfecky Cassie's Here a Moment pick, though? Because if it's not that opening montage, I'm going to go eat a hat.
See, I'm torn because,
I heard you audibly say, I love this already, like, as soon as it started.
Yeah, but you're always here to me. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that moment with River is really good.
Are you fucking kidding me?
And in the timeline...
Alex!
In the timeline, this is River Song's final moments. She does, her character comes back.
Well, yeah,
but
she's
that is the death of River Song that we have just witnessed. She finally like was let go with the Doctor and no longer needs to be a book on a shelf.
She was spit on a butt. She's like a book on a shelf.
I can always see you, and I can always hear you.
You're always here to me. Oh, but that doctor montage. Heyo.
Yeah, you had mentioned a few episodes ago you wish that you had seen like some like old doctor stuff, and I'm like, yeah, we're gonna get that soon, and here we got it, and I love it so much. It's so good.
I just really like that you can identify the face solely off of what coats they're wearing.
And they do make sure each one gets their coat, too. Yeah. They even grab footage of the second doctor in his big furry coat.
Well, because my favorite is that you see both Bakers back to back. But you see Six walk by, but then you get a nice, like, out of frame sort of shot of Four where you can just see his scarf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the way they portrayed that.
I just like that they put both Bakers back to back.
I like that they put...
That's good for me, because I think those are my two favorites.
I like they found footage of all the Doctors like in some form of distress, except for the first Doctor, who's in the middle of stealing the TARDIS.
Yeah.
I really like that they found different footage. They found places to put Clara that makes her like near the drama, but not necessarily like in a way that would interrupt whatever episode it was from.
So she's been born and died.
She has been, I think the way they phrased it is scattered like confetti across his timeline.
Jesus. Could you imagine living your life upwards of 11 times?
Oh, she's done it thousands of times from the sound of it, because she had to go in and stop the Great Intelligence every time he tried to stop him. And the Great Intelligence tried to turn every victory into a defeat. Yeah.
Could you imagine?
So she was born, she lived, and she died thousands of times.
I believe in reincarnation.
That's too much.
That is far too many.
Do you think there were any where she was just like a crab?
Maybe.
She's just like a car crab.
If there was a Dr. Crab, or that's all she needed to be in that universe to help
just
him.
Just to get the Doctor to not go to the beach one episode.
Yeah.
She's the one who's keeping the Doctor from his beach episode.
My God.
Suddenly you're torn.
No. Turns out she's just a wily beach raccoon, and she steals the Doctor's sandwich. Fun fact, that happened to me.
What happened? What?
Yeah.
What a story to drop in here. How did it get taken by a beach raccoon?
So in Costa Rica, it is not uncommon for raccoons to live very close to the beach, especially in very touristy areas. And to me,
A beach raccoon
in a touristy area, a fellow raccoon. No, humble brag, but when I was in high school, I was able to go to Costa Rica.
Okay.
And you brought one sandwich
you were really excited about.
And one of the days we got to have our own little beach episode. Turns out they know how to open bags. They are very smart. And they have little thumbs that make it very easy for them.
We're going to get a sandwich from that beach picnic basket.
It's a raccoon, though. It's a raccoon.
Hey, boo-boo. We're going to go get a sandwich from that beach picnic basket.
Okay. A raccoon sounded like Kermit the Frog, but okay. yeah, between the capuchin monkeys and the beach raccoons, your food was not safe.
Welcome to Costa Rica. Hold on. Put your food in a safe.
Put your food in a lockbox or the raccoons will get it.
What'd you think of the episode overall? I know it's kind of a lot. This is a very like lore dump kind of episode.
This is a very beefy episode.
Yeah, like it's surprisingly well paced for how beefy it is. Like you almost don't realize how much has been dropped on you until the end when you're like, okay.
This was only 45 minutes?
I believe so.
Or is this an hour? 52. 46. Damn. Yeah, that is a well paced 46.
Yeah.
It is a tight 46.
It's a tweet 46.
I could even say 45.
Yeah, because you got credit, so it's probably 45 minutes.
This might even be 44. Who's to say?
Who's to say? Who's counting?
Who's counting?
Doctor Who's counting?
Do you know what is not counting on me having things to say?
I honestly had difficulty taking a lot of notes, too, because a lot of it is just like I said, a lot of it is lore, but it's really like interestingly presented, like the way that a lot of it is like secrets that have to be like had to be revealed or plans that had to be made. So there is a level of like this is a very interesting way to unveil exposition which is by first introducing it as like an interesting visual element or like a moment of tension, like where they're like, you don't know what's in the tomb. I do like that when they first show up at this, like at the battlefield tomb, Clara points out that the tombstones are kind of like unassuming. And he's like, yeah, it's a battlefield tomb. The bigger bigger the gravestone, the higher the rank. And the next thing you see is a TARDIS door that is like the size of like 17 skyscrapers, like as big as a fucking mountain. Yeah, the highest rank is the biggest gravestone, huh? Huh. Wonder who the highest ranking one here was.
Going back to the very tippy top of the episode, I like that we start. It starts very unassuming as a Doctor Who cold open of two engineers working on bits and baubles.
Yeah.
And then it.
And I like if you wouldn't, I don't know, think you would catch this, but there's a very subtle touch they do where just one wall is decorated in the sort of circular language of the Time Lord. So you, if you're a super Hooper fan,
might be my favorite thing that you've said.
If you're a super Hooper fan, you pick up quickly that you're on Gallifrey, and then they do a big wide shot where you see the snow globe building.
In case you aren't a super Hooper fan, they do a wide shot and say Gallifrey a very long time ago.
Yeah, and you get to see the big the capital city that's encased in a big glass dome.
In a snow globe.
Yeah, and that it's the same way the 10th Doctor described it, except just without the grass and the snow that he mentioned, unfortunately. Then it cuts to, you see the first Doctor is like walking towards a TARDIS that someone says is broken. And then Clara comes in and is like, Doctor, you're about to make a very big mistake. And then you don't get to see the end of that scene just yet. You find out later what she's talking about, but it's just, you're about to steal the wrong car. You should steal this car instead. This car's GPS is busted, but it's gonna be way better for your road trip.
It's gonna be really fun. That one you don't want to steal. That one. This one's got personality.
We got this montage of other of the Doctors through other like perilous moments. And I like how no matter what time period the story was in, she was always dressed for the era the episode aired in.
Yep.
She's dressed for the 70s and the 80s.
So you know.
Yes.
You as the viewer know.
Yes, you. Okay. I thought you were saying you know, and I was like, I know what. You were making a point.
No, so you as the viewer know.
Like, where that she's traveling through time.
In case you were not there to see this time journey happen from one until now.
You know, hair and makeup had a field day. Just like, oh, we get to do different looks today.
Or the costumer went, God, no.
I've got to find stuff to fit this 5'2", 100 pound nothing.
I have to get 8 additional outfits now for 15 second scenes
that are all gonna be shot on green screen.
Oh my god,
so I can't use the color green.
Don't even get me started. Don't even get me started.
After the montage, we get into a jail cell where someone waiting on death row is doing himself a little poem about the Whisper Men. And then I know this is jumping ahead a little bit, but then later on we get to see the Whisper Men. And
horrible Art the Clowns. I really hate those guys.
Yeah, that's another Moffatism, is just creating a creature that Cassie hates to look at.
Ugh.
That just gives her a yucky in her tum tum. Just does not.
Just an absolute immediate nope.
I think that was actually what you said the second you like saw you went, no, thank you.
Yeah, that's a fun fact. And anybody who's ever been through a haunted house or haunted maze attraction can tell you the second I don't agree with something, I give it a firm nope.
And then then we get to the Paternoster gang who with the secrets given to them by this murderer. They decide to have a conference call.
I like that the conference call comprises of quote unquote the women and Strax.
And they all have to take a soporific, or in Strax's case, he has to get bonked on the head with a shovel so they can all go into
Would
this.
Would you please knock me out?
You might need to use this and it might take you a few tries. One whack, he's out.
Yeah. That was strong.
He's a Scotsman. So
he's powered by.
I assume Scotsmen are the inspiration for the Sauntarans.
You know.
So they all wake up in this little like dreamscape area that apparently they've changed the desktop wallpaper on. It used to be the Taj Mahal, and now it's this little nice little I don't know what you would call it, like
it's like psychedelic.
Yeah, it's definitely a room you're supposed to do drugs in.
Yeah, there's one of those like Chuck E. Cheese disco lights. You know the one.
And so and Madame Vastra summons some tea from her favorite memories, and then the girls show up, including Clara, who gets invited from the future, and she opens her letter, and the letter says, "Here, light this candle." Just kidding, it's on the letter already.
That feels like something you would do to get me.
I feel like the implication you just said is that I would drug you.
Well, no, if it's like here, you're supposed to do this thing. Here is an included tool, and I go, "No, thank you," and you go, "Well, actually, I knew you weren't going to use that, so
I've made this letter long enough that you'll keep inhaling this soporific until you go cross-eyed and pass out." I love the little cross-eyed face that Clara makes. I don't know what it is. There's something about actors who could do that, who could genuinely, like, go cross-eyed as they, like, lean forward.
Because you can't.
No, I can't do it.
You can't. Can you not?
No, I really can't. This is me trying right now.
You can't.
I hope this is great for the podcast that people can see me not crossing my eyes.
I know. Well, because you're also closing your eyes a great deal. You got to keep them open and then just look into the center. So you're not watching me do it.
I've watched so many people do it over the years. I cannot do it. I honestly don't think I have the muscles in my eyes to do it.
Oh, no. You with your perfect 20/20 vision.
Yeah, my vision's too perfect. My vision's too perfect. I can't cross my eyes. I can't let me unsee things.
Am I crossing them when I.
Yeah. Let's be trying. I don't even know what it looks like.
Would you like to see?
I'll take a picture of it later.
No, we're doing it now.
Okay. It almost looks like I have a lazy eye.
It looks like you're trying to poop. Not anybody knowing.
Not fart. It's not that I...
It looks like you're trying to pee in the ocean, but, like, be really stealth about it.
No one must know. They'll think a fish did it. If I just leave it here and then I walk away and no one will know.
Oh, my God.
It was the octopus. It was not me.
Oh, that's really funny. Oh, man. So Strax and the women.
Yeah, Strax and the women. After Clara shows up, then River Song shows up. You had asked if she shows up in this episode. Indeed, she does.
I'm so glad.
Yeah,
I missed her.
Yeah, she does show. She does, in fact, show up here. And then they have the River decides not to partake in the tea. Instead, she summons her own glass of champagne. And they ask her how she did that. And she says, disgracefully. But unfortunately, their meeting is cut short. Their meeting involving they discover that the doctor has headed to Trenzalore. And their meeting is cut short by the Whispermen showing up and giving everyone literally a heart attack.
Yep. Which is, I mean, unfortunate that they got a heart attack, but I was really upset that they did not get their meeting disrupted by a tapping on the door. Nevermore. Come on, you keep on saying Trenzalore and nothing more.
I do really like the way that they reveal the Whispermen are there is they do it. They don't show you. This is one of those few times where telling, not showing actually works because it creates a tension because Jenny's like, I forgot to lock the door. Someone's broken in. I'm sorry, ma'am. I think I've been murdered.
They do something clever where the second that Jenny realizes that something is amiss, she in the dreamscape starts to like panic and worry.
Mm-hmm.
And it flashes back to, you know, London, and you can see a like cloaked, robed figure like walking around her, and she's reacting to it. She can feel it on her arm, and mm-hmm. I think that suspense really helps that moment.
Yeah, it's just an atypical way to get that information in a way that I think makes you like seize up just a little bit, where you're like, "What do you mean?
What do you mean you've been murdered, Mom?"
Yeah, and then they all have to like wake up. Vastra gets slapped across the face by River. Strax gets champagne splashed in his face so they can all wake up. But then they all must go to Trenzalore. And Clara gets told that she has to go as well. And the doctor is roaming around the house at the time playing blind man's bluff with the kids. Those little Daleks who tricked him into putting on a blindfold so they could go to the theater. These kids suck.
Yeah.
They suck also so much.
Do remember though, they're in the UK, it's much safer.
Well, I wouldn't say much safer necessarily, but everything's closer.
It's closer. Yeah. They can walk.
Yeah.
They can walk to the cinema.
Everything's designed to be walked in the UK.
And Angie's like 13.
It reminds you why these two older kids, like you're talking 11 and 13, like Angie would be old enough to babysit.
Yeah.
Like they don't need a babysitter until you find out, oh, they absolutely need a babysitter because these kids misbehave so bad.
Yeah.
they go breaking out and they do bad things. They do bad kids. Yeah, they're going to
the movies. That's not bad.
Yeah, but they're doing it without they did it the second their parents left. They're not just like.
And they did trick. And
they tricked an adult man.
Not only an adult man. Somebody who is older than they could possibly conceive.
Who they have internalized as their babysitter's boyfriend.
Yep.
Because they've called him twice Clara's boyfriend. But then they end up going to Trenzalore and we see all the gravestones and we. This is a lot of like pacing around as we reveal like that the Great Intelligence is behind this. The Great Intelligence has the Whispermen and is using the Whispermen as like his bodies because the Great Intelligence doesn't have a body, as evidenced by when he grabs into his cheek and rips off his lower face like it's like he's made of paper mache.
Like he is the Invisible Man, except for bandages.
Except the bandage is skin.
His face is bandage.
Yeah, it's definitely a little eerie for sure.
I just don't like that. I do like that they got Richard E. Grant to be the intelligence. Yeah,
he's doing a great job.
That man scares me.
He's a very good villain.
Yes.
Especially when the doctor makes his way back up there, which you would clock this too. I appreciated that you remembered this. They find the grave of River Song and doctor's like, that doesn't make any sense. The grave can't be here. And you went, yeah, because she's dead in a library. Which all offers two fun opinions here. Either one, that grave's entirely fake. Because obviously River is in a library, or two, River gets out of the library at some point enough so that they feel like they can bury her there. But although you should bury his wife probably closer to him.
Yeah.
Maybe like I understand that you can't put her in the tomb because the tomb is a TARDIS that has a leak in it. But maybe put her next to it. Put her just below.
Yeah, she had the smallest, piddliest grave, and there was no dates or anything on it. That's fake. That's a fake grave.
Yeah, so it was a false grave.
She's in a library. Library. That's where we kept her.
They make their way up, and the Great Intelligence starts demanding the doctor speak his name because the name is the password to open the door. What is your name?
Could you imagine having to type in one of our names to the door? You'd be... Cassandra, we'd be there forever. To this day, people are still trying to get in.
But even Richard E. Grant starts doing the Doctor Who. Doctor Who? Like he's saying very aggressively. That's a stupid question to say like with like gristle in your throat.
Yep.
That when they finally do get into it, though, it's because River said his name to the TARDIS because River did actually marry him and he said his real name. And they make their way into the TARDIS that has like leaves and vines growing all through it now.
Yeah, the TARDIS is finally a greenhouse. Hooray.
Well, it's mostly
I got my way.
Yeah, it's a greenhouse, and in the very middle of it is, as you had predicted, just a stream of energy. His body has been shed.
Energy and light.
It's just energy and light, and I perceive all those strands as like his overcrossing and interconnected timelines.
It reminded me of like Roots.
Yeah, I mean, he describes it as scar tissue, and I do think that they sort of capture that. They find a way to make three-dimensional scar tissue very in a way that's interesting.
Yeah, like Roots.
Yeah, like
Roots, Zach. You know, like plant roots. talking specifically about, like, the ones we have in the kitchen, the ones that I'm actively propagating, when you are doing it in water and you can see the roots, that's what it looks like.
Yeah, I like, I think it's a very, nice blend of, like, sci-fi, like, of organic material and also, like, sci-fi material. That makes sense. Yeah. Like, it's this beam of light, but there's also, like, a natural shape to it.
It's not just, like, waves of light that are just pulsating.
It
looks like a living thing.
Yeah, basically. And it's very interesting how the whole plot here is just like, I want to find your grave and then jump in the grave hole. it's basically the Great Intelligence's entire plan. He's like, if I jump inside your time stream, I can undo all of your victories and make them defeats. I can kill you 1,000 times.
You ruined my life, so I'm going to make yours a living hell. It reminds me very much of a Reddit story that I heard today, this morning, of a woman who was very upset that the person she married couldn't have remembered to flip the water, like, spigot down, so that way the shower didn't immediately start. Mm-hmm. Which also crazy to just jump in the shower and turn the water on. Absolutely bonkers.
Yeah.
But then as retribution for that, she splashes her partner with ice cold water and says, like, dude, I've dealt with this for 20 years. I'm going to start making your, if you can't, like, cooperate with me, I'm going to start bringing you down with me. Something like that. And that's exactly what, all I'm saying is the Great Intelligence is a Redditor. So.
Well, I mean, there's definitely, like, some, I don't even know if Reddit's the right term. It feels a little Tumblr-y because he walks around with his posse of, like, faceless, high cheekbone, sharp mouthed vampire men
with hats
that all speak in rhyme.
Yeah,
like, they're not like, why are they called the Whisper Men? They're more like the Rhymy Men.
Something else too, because do you remember a lot of Howl's Moving Castle?
Yeah.
Okay, Clara reminds me of Sophie.
I can see that
specifically in the essence of, like, when she, because she travels back in time and sees Howl's past and, you know, learns how to save Howl. I guess, spoiler, kind of, the movie's
for
been
a,
out.
For a very old movie.
If you haven't seen it, fucking get cultured. But she learns how to save him, and, you know, she shouts at him as she's getting pulled out of his past, find me in your future.
Mm-hmm.
And so Clara reminds me specifically of that, even down to the doctor giving her a leaf to help her find her way back and remind her who she is, very much.
Are
like,
you accusing Stephen Moffat of stealing from Japan?
Yes.
From one Ghibli?
Well, because Howl gives her a ring specifically that's like, oh, here, this will guide you back. Just call Calcifer with your heart. The doctor says, here's a leaf. This is the leaf that made you.
This leaf is of your body. Write it back into the normal time. So
I'm not saying that they're the same, but I think that there is a very fair argument to be made that Sophie
there's at least
and
inspiration
Clara
there.
Might be the same character.
Yeah, and then the Great Intelligence reveals that I like the way that he phrases it, which is the doctor says, you can't jump into my time stream, it will destroy you. It's like, no. It will kill me. It will destroy you.
Yeah, and, that's so badass.
Right? It's such a good line, like, because there's a way, and it's a good line because it, like, illustrates so much with only like light emphasis on different words.
Well, because at that point, the Great Intelligence has no qualms, does not care for self-preservation.
We've already established he has no physical form.
Yeah, wants nothing to do with himself, wants everything to do to tear the doctor down.
Yeah.
Tear the doctor down and also ruin the lives of everyone that has ever been impacted by the doctor. Namely, we see Jenny just fully disappear.
Yeah,
and we see Strax become a
Sontaran again, yeah.
Yeah, become a Sontaran again and then disappear as if he were Thanos snapped out of existence.
Yeah, specifically the moment where Madame Vastra goes, he even saved you the first time we met, and then she turns around and she's gone.
Yep.
It's almost like the act of remembering the doctor saved her ended up.
Because I even think that it's just it might have just been a very clever cut, but it looked as if the camera just pans slightly around Madame
I think that happens. I think so they pan slightly and then they let her like drop out of frame. Like she like just falls and scurries off or something. Very fun moment. And I really like that. What was like mortifying is that Madame Vassar has to be the one to kill Strax. She has to pull a little thing that like dusts him. Because he just won't.
Well, because it's also kind of something kind of sweet and then really sad when you see it happen. She is the only person that he actively refers to by her actual pronouns. He just refers to her as Madam. It's Madam and then the boys. Clara, Jenny, River, they're all the boys.
I liked the like escalation of that bit where when River introduces herself, is certainly he's mentioned Professor River Song, and Clara goes, "Yeah, I just didn't realize you were a woman." And Drax goes, "I didn't either." I keep saying Strax. I keep getting Strax and Drax from the Guardians of the Galaxy movies blended up just because their names are similar. But
energy wise, they're not too dissimilar.
No, you're not wrong.
But I like that she's one of the only people that he will refer to as Madam. But the second that he flips, he just starts calling her what I imagine would be a slur.
Just reptile.
Yeah, just reptile.
Yeah, like he doesn't even care what she is anymore. She is beneath him.
She is nothing more than her species.
Yeah. And her species is defiance to Sontaran purity. Basically, he goes full Dalek. Strax will exterminate.
He does. That's too big of a word for him. can we go back? Can we go back in time? I'm so upset that the little boy that delivers Strax... His telegram isn't Thomas Thomas.
Cassie's new favorite Doctor Who character competing with K-9, Thomas Thomas.
His name is Thomas Thomas. That's like if I made a D&D
Thomas,
character.
Thomas Thomas.
Yeah. Timmy.
It's not that different from it's not that different from the Tanuki twins and Animal Crossing.
Timmy Tommy.
And so the Great Intelligence jumps in and starts undoing the time stream. Jenny disappears. Strax has his mind erased. Madame Vastra looks up and sees stars going out. We keep seeing the stars going out. They've done it like three times.
We also get some pretty choice shots of Matt Smith yet again. Scramble Man.
Yeah, writhing around on the floor as his body dies 1,000 times.
Yeah, it's cool, whatever.
And Clara's like, well, you are, like, this is the big twist. The big twist of the episode is definitely that I jump into that time stream and that's how I'm the Impossible Girl. That's the big reveal that's happening this episode. Definitely not anything else that's happening in that time stream.
We also got to see a little bit of when she links... She does a psychic link to the TARDIS, to the, like, active, fresh, not giant dead TARDIS. Is it fresh? Whatever. And sees memories that she has, but has no memory of because the Doctor rewrote that moment in time.
Yeah. Which I'm sure you were happy about because you...
Yes.
Because you were quite upset when that memory was erased.
Yeah.
I didn't want to spoil it for you and tell you that it did come back. But yeah, it comes back. They find a way to...
Well, because it's nice that it does happen. So that way then she does now have this memory. She has this knowledge now that she just keeps on popping up in the Doctor's life. And she doesn't understand how. And she's a smart and clever enough girl to go... Oh, I know how.
Yeah, as soon as Madame Vastra mentions that the Great Intelligence is attacking him in the Dalek Asylum, she goes, wait a second. I gotta go down there and jump in and become a Dalek.
Yeah. Run, you clever boy.
And I like how that moment stays. I also like this like through line that they only invented this episode of the souffle isn't the souffle, the souffle is the recipe.
Mm-hmm.
Which, on the one hand, no. Souffle is a souffle.
Yeah, souffle.
But I do appreciate the idea that, you know, something is more than its result. It is the process of making it, and the doctor is himself the process of becoming the doctor.
Cut to
the montage inside of him. Once again, now a little more fleshed out, but ultimately it's...
I do like that we get several actors that are approximately the same height and build as past doctors.
Yeah, Clara lands in this just like empty orange...
Void
with just fog in it. And characters, like different versions of the doctor, start running by. Their bodies blurred like they're the Crooked Man.
Shut up. Oh, because... I saw 9 for sure.
Yeah, there was 9. There was 6. There was 4.
2?
2 is that? Yeah, 2 has the big furry coat. That was how they identified him. 1. Honestly, I think we saw all of them except for 10 and 8. 10 and 8, I know we didn't see. 5 is the only one I'm like, I think we did, but I'm not 100%. I know we saw at least every other one.
Mm.
Well, I guess we didn't see 7 in the void. So 7 we saw in the montage. Yeah, 7 we didn't see in the void. And then... the doctor basically fishes her back by sending her the leaf that she flew in on.
It was effective. He Mufasa'd her. Just remember who you are.
I like they did that. If they fought, the doctor would be like, fuck you and the leaf you flew in on.
That's such a solid insult if you're arguing with somebody very small.
I love that. I'm going to put that in my pocket. You're all welcome to keep that. Fuck you and the leaf you flew in on.
That's so mean. could you imagine yelling at your mom that?
Oh, my God. My 5'1" mom. Don't listen to this, mom. Yeah.
No, that's so funny. You can use that too, Sonia. For anybody smaller than you. A child.
So, never bugs, little ones. and so the doctor finally, the 11th doctor finally pops in through a little portal and is like there to get Clara out. And then suddenly the music shifts and he see a silhouette of a doctor that I think they specifically wanted to make it look like it was 9 for a second. Like it was Eccleston.
There was a very small shred of hope where I was like, oh, I thought he didn't come back ever. He is so publicly not okay with anything.
He specifically had a problem with the Russell T. Davies era of the show. He had a problem with the way the production was being run.
Yeah.
When Davies was in charge. I don't think he had the same problem with Moffat as like a creator. My understanding was he was almost willing to come back for the 50th, but he had like some stipulations that couldn't be met.
Mm.
But ultimately Eccles. So without getting too far ahead of us, some of what they wrote for John, they didn't originally intend for this other doctor to show up. Originally, the 50th was going to be 9, 10, and 11.
Mm-hmm.
But Eccleston has since said that he's really, he did see the 50th and he liked what John Hurt did. And he's glad that John Hurt got to play the part. I don't know if that's just him trying to placate fans because he doesn't want to be a dick.
Yeah.
But also, he doesn't have a problem with Doctor Who. He's doing, he had an audio drama come out, I think, last week. As of recording this, he had an audio drama with Billy Piper that came out just last week. He had a problem specifically with the way the show was run by Russell T. Davies and the BBC.
Gotcha.
So he might have been more OK with Moffat.
Thank you for explaining that.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a very small part of me that wanted it to be Eccleston. Another even much larger, louder part that really wanted it to be Rowan Atkinson. what a twist.
Right. Wouldn't that be something just to reveal that all this time, all the doctors, all the doctors, including Jim Broadbent and Richard E. Grant himself, was also Richard E. Grant dives in the timeline. And that's how that happens. Is the Great Intelligence accidentally created one of his own versions of the Doctor that lasts for 5 minutes? What a twist.
What a twist.
But instead the twist.
A little twist.
But instead, the reveal is that John Hurt was the doctor that broke the promise. He doesn't get to call himself the doctor.
He's credited as such, though.
He's credited as such. But in the story, they say that I like what Eleven says, where he's like, I said he was me. I never said he was the doctor, which it just feels like he was in a club and got kicked out. Like he got excommunicated. And so all the other ones are like, we don't talk about him.
It feels like if you have a. Like if you had an internet persona for a very long time, but then you rewrite that or you create another account using your name and you're like, oh yeah, I'm not like a good example. Like
a good example is me personally on this channel that this episode goes up on YouTube.
Yeah, for real. That, when I was younger, I wanted to create an internet persona. So any account I made from like the early days all has the same name. I'm not going to give that out. If you know it, you know it. If you don't,
I don't think I've even told you about my old stuff from like before this channel.
I've never spoken to you about my old stuff either.
Oof. Oh, man.
We'll save that for never.
We'll save that for couples therapy.
Save that for Patreon?
Absolutely not. But yeah,
that name is, I mean, it's, yeah. But sort of that mentality of like, oh, yeah, we don't talk about her.
Yeah, but now we've got another doctor to look at. We'll get to him in a few weeks because we're not going to go straight to the 50th anniversary.
Oh, what?
I have a whole like wind up schedule planned for us.
What?
We still have a couple doctors we haven't seen, a couple classic doctors. I feel like that's important for us to get to. We're going to
see who?
We haven't seen the first doctor nor the eighth doctor.
Fair.
So those are going to come up pretty soon. We're also going to watch one of the Peter Cushing movies, which is...
Were those the ones made for here?
No, that was the Eighth Doctor one was the one made for here. Okay. The Peter Cushing movies were made in response to Dalek Mania, where they basically just tried to do like a film adaptation of Doctor Who. But instead of him being the Doctor, he is a guy named Doctor who invents a TARDIS in his backyard that takes him to the Dalek planet. So we're going to watch that. We're going to watch the previous anniversary specials. Those are called the Three Doctors, the Five Doctors. This isn't an anniversary special, but it feels weird not to include it with this other lineup. There's one called the Two Doctors. There's a Remembrance of the Daleks. There's Dimensions in Time. And then there's an adaptation story that came out for the 50th, retelling the story of the first Doctor, like William Hartnell becoming the Doctor. Called An Adventure in Space and Time. And then we will get to the proper 50th anniversary.
Jesus,
we've got a few things. Yeah, we got a few things lined up in here.
People are going to be mad, dude.
I think people expect us to do this, to be honest with you.
I think you expect you to do this.
Maybe. I mean, I would feel weird getting to such a big anniversary thing and skipping over the other anniversary stuff. Especially because like it's a big deal. And also, if I had to wait 6 fucking months to find out who the hell John Hurt is, I can make you wait a few weeks.
Oh, yeah, because this is right when you were watching it, huh?
This was the height of my fandom.
Oh, so can we elaborate more on that? Because I think that's fun and interesting.
I had dropped
in 2013.
Yeah, I had started watching the show in 2011. So I had watched it on Netflix. I had binged it as far as I could. I got into the 11th Doctor and I got to see his first series. And then I got to see the back half of series 6, in like as it came out, and then series 7 as it came out. And then I got the reveal of John Hurt when it came out and had to wait 6 months until the 50th came out. And then the 50th, in addition to airing on TV, also had showings in theaters around the country, including one in my bumfuck nowhere, Oklahoma, where I'm from, where I went dressed as the 11th Doctor, cosplaying as the 11th Doctor for the 50th anniversary screening. So I guess you could say I was kind of into it.
Yeah, sounds like it.
This was the height of my fandom. It's one of those things where I think I almost like burnt myself out how big I was into it at this point in time. Because when 12 came out, I think I was so enamored with 11 that it disappointed me a little bit because I just wanted more 11. Because 11 was so much my Doctor. In hindsight, it feels stupid to say that because 12 is great. But we're getting ahead of ourselves now.
Yeah. I mean, it's also one of those things, too, where it's like when you have a casting that is so near and dear to you.
Yeah.
Seeing them go away.
And in some ways the 50th, because everyone knew it was coming. Like I went to an unrelated like gaming convention that still had a panel on Doctor Who because the 50th was coming out later that year. So I went to go see that. And it's just,
was this still 2013 or was this later?
This was January 2013. So it's before even the season had finished. People, they were like speculating on what was going to happen. They were talking about their relationship with, there was these online creators that were talking about their relationship with the show, how they were feeling about different moments, specifically what some things they were expecting to come up with the 50th. A lot of really interesting.
See, while you were doing that, I was rewatching the 1991 U2 concert. Zoo TV live from Sydney, Australia.
So you and I both were just big into British culture at the time.
Well, yeah, but mine was actually cool, so.
Anyway.
You could ask me anything about you two during that time. I would have answers upon answers for you.
But yeah, so this is a big time for me. And so I know that you're not like on the edge of your seat wondering who John Hurt is.
No.
But I want you to feel a little bit of that mystery bubble up inside you. I want you to have questions. I want you to have ideas.
You're going to be so disappointed.
I'm going to try and force that by any means necessary. So we're going to take a few weeks to watch some other anniversary stuff. Because I like watching the classic ones too. Cause if we get 1 and 8 in there, you will have seen every doctor up to this point.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have at least a little flavor of everything.
I now am able to say whenever, like, because I work with a lot of nerds. turns out theater people, kind of a goofy bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And I had made a reference to Doctor Who, and they went, "Oh, really? Then what's your favorite doctor?" And I went, "4. And they went, "Whoa.
Whoa.
Whoa. Whoa." And I went, "Yeah, both Bakers, love them. Tom's my favorite, though. Ask me another question." And they were like, "Okay." I went, "I have a whole podcast, baby. You've opened up a can of worms. Now they put those worms away before the birds see."
They just pull out. They pull out a question you were not prepared for, though. They're just like, "What?
What is the doctor's favorite color?" Fuck. No, blue.
It's like, "Oh, really? What's your opinion of the Sea Devils?" And you're like, the who to what? the sea who? The who devils? What?
The sea devils. Well, they're not as much fun as the D devils.
But they're better than the B devils.
Yeah.
Which is just Satan made out of 100 bees. So I hope you are looking forward to that. I hope you're all looking forward to that, too. On the next episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor? That was my very best Dalek. Did you like it?
It was pretty good.
Thanks.
It was very elegant.
Dalek has...
Dalek's got a little concept of elegance.
Dalek like kind of gets elegance. Also, do you care for some tea?
I'm a Dalek debutante.
Dalek debutante. Oh, no. Travis, you have some homework.
Don't pick on our patrons. Don't make them do work. That's mean. Looking forward to you all being there on the next episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? I'm just a little Dalek debutante. I'm just here to exterminate my little girlhood as I venture into womanhood.
Would you care for some tea?
I hold the pinky of my plunger out while I drink tea.
Iced hot gossip.
Thank you all for tuning in to another episode. I'm doing this very late, and I am very tired, so hopefully I can get all this out correctly. I hope you all enjoyed the episode. If you did, be sure you are subscribed wherever you are listening right now, so you get updates for every episode in the future. We got a lot of stuff coming up in the lead up to the 50th anniversary, so I think it'll be a big deal if you're interested in any of that. If you'd really like to support us, you can find us over on Patreon at patreon.com/whoismydoctor, where for as little as $1 a month, you can get access to episodes of this podcast a whole week early. That's right. If you would like to hear our talk about the 8th Doctor movie right now, you can find it over on patreon.com/whoismydoctor for as little as $1. Special thanks, as always, to our Big Daddy Dalek patrons, Andrew Blewett, David Gansel, Travis Aiken, Julian Erlebacher, and Daniel Lindgren. Next week, we're starting our big run-up to the 50th anniversary with a look at the 8th Doctor movie. I think it's also called The Enemy Within, but I only ever refer to it as Doctor Who the movie. So...
Next week, Doctor Who, the movie. Haha. We'll see you next Tuesday, because your Tuesdays are now Whosdays.